Welcome to another Sunday with the Skies today. We're so glad that you could join us from wherever you are. And we're so glad that some of you have taken us up on the offer to come up and visit. That is really a blessing. And we want to extend that to everyone from here to Seychelles off the east coast of Africa. Come visit, stay with us for a few days. It'll be well worth the trip, however far it is. No, you're just welcome here all the time. So we're very blessed to have Dottie and Angelica with us last week, who came up from New Hampshire or Vermont?
New Hampshire,
yeah. And was a joy to see them, and it'll be a joy to see the rest of you. So we're going to go into a Christmas message today because it's almost Christmas. And I thought that it would be a good time to bring out some of my very, very favorite concepts and one of my favorite Bible characters, which amazingly is Mary. Mary is, the more that you examine her life, the more awesome a woman that she is. And we hear lots about prayers in the Bible, and a lot of people are making a big deal about praying the prayers of that are in the Bible, praying the prayers of the apostles and all of this. Well, I just want to say that my favorite prayer in the Bible is by a woman, and I think that Mary's prayer is the most inspiring thing that I could imagine. And so because of that, I wanted to explore a little bit about Mary and about her prayer and about her heart attitude and why God picked her to be the mother of his son. And it was with good reason. So let's turn over to Luke chapter 1. And while you're doing that, we're going to have a word of prayer. Oh Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for sending your son into the world, that those who dwell in deep darkness would see a great light. The great light being the beauty of the purity of the character of the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus, that even if you didn't say a word, your character demonstrated, it's a lesson for us all, without even saying anything, who you are and the beauty of your nature. The strength of your purity, Lord, is just so awesome. And so we just want to really celebrate who you are, Lord God. Celebrate the reason and the way that you came into the world. And we also want to take the lessons that are so pertinent to us, that are surrounding your birth and surrounding the choice of the woman that would be your mother. And so Lord, we ask you to bless each one that is here, bless each one that is listening from afar. Lord, may you cause us to be inspired by your words today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to read just a few different pieces, and we covered some of this not too long ago, but because it's Christmas again, and because these lessons are so important to us, I wanted to just bring them out again. Turning over to Luke chapter 1, instead of reading it all, I'm going to pick out just certain bits of it. Okay, starting in 1:5, it says, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." And then down to verse 11, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. But the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John.'" and he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit of power, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, this is just an interesting little side note, but it says here that Zacharias had a wife for the daughters of Aaron. And do you know what that means? Do you know what that makes John the Baptist? It makes John the Baptist to be of the priestly line. It makes him to be a descendant of Aaron. Isn't that pretty exciting? Because the high priest was to minister in the temple before the Ark of the Covenant, before the Lord. And here we have this amazing, awesome fulfillment that the priestly line, that the high priest would come forth. And serve the Lord in person. In person. So in John the Baptist, we have the fulfillment of the type that we see in the Old Testament of the priest serving before the ark. We have in the flesh the descendant of Aaron serving literally the Son of God in person. Isn't that pretty cool? It's just a little side note, okay? And then it says, and Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this for certain? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their proper time. Then moving down to verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said, how can this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. And then down on verse 43, when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, Elizabeth greets her and says, "How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment to what had been spoken to her by the Lord." So, I want to just point out another interesting little side note before we get into the heart of the message. And that is that Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron, and Mary was her relative. And so we would see then in Mary the bloodline from Aaron and the bloodline from David, the actual bloodline, as opposed to the bloodline through Joseph that was cut off with Jesus. We see that Mary had the bloodline of Aaron and of David, which makes her offspring able to be both king and priest. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty amazing. And as we shared the other day, if Joseph had been the natural father of Jesus, he wouldn't be the Messiah. Right? Why? Because the lineage through Joseph had been cut off. The Lord had cursed that line after some of the kings had turned to evil. God had cursed the bloodline that came through Solomon and said that no king would come forth from that lineage. So had Joseph been the natural father of Jesus, then he couldn't have been the Messiah. But because he wasn't the natural father and the bloodline went through Mary, now Jesus fulfilled, God fulfilled his promise to David, bringing that bloodline through Mary, which is just awesome. It's just awesome how amazing and intricate are God's ways. So those are just a few little interesting side notes. But what I want to get into is why God picked Mary, why Mary was the favored one, why she had favor with God. And we see that the first thing, that there was two particular attributes about Mary that are so inspiring. The first is that she had a simple childlike faith, that she just simply believed God. She believed God. So God came to her, the angel came to her with an impossible promise, right? Impossible in the flesh, right? In the natural. God came with a promise to her that was impossible because, she was a virgin. And yet her response was, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." So she believed in the promise of God. Unlike another person who had been visited by the same angel, also with good news. Zacharias, we see, received also good news, the same type of good news, yet his response was, how shall I know this for certain? My wife is advanced in years. And so his response to the good news of God was that he didn't believe. He doubted. And why did he doubt? It's not that he wasn't a good man. He was a good man. His prayers had come up before God. He had been serving before God night and day. He was a good man. The difference between him and Mary is this, that he had experienced a long period of time where it appeared as though God had failed him. He had gone through a long time. He had been wanting kids since he was a young man. And all this time, he had been serving in the temple and he had been serving the Lord, and he was a good and a righteous man. And the result of his righteousness was that he had no son, he had no lineage, he had no family, he had nothing to show for his faithful service to the Lord. And because that had gone on for an extended time, you can be sure that with Zacharias, for the first 10 or 12 years or 15 years or maybe even 20 years, that he would have just been dug in faith to say, the Lord is good, the Lord's going to take care of me, he's going to bless me with a posterity. This was his heart's desire. And God is going to remember me, and he has not forgotten me at all. And then his wife went into menopause. Then his wife got past the age where she could have a child. Isn't this an amazing thing? Now Zacharias' faith is just laid waste. It's just in pieces. And he is distressed in the way of all those who have been disappointed in God. The situation was now impossible. Now his heart's desire was completely impossibly removed from him. And it would have been this attitude and this heart grief, it would have been this disappointment that would have hardened his heart to believing that there was any good for following after God. So that when the angel came, when an angel came from the throne of God to bring good news, he was so crushed by these feelings of bitter disappointment and having trusted in God to no end, to no avail, that when the angel came and spoke to him, he couldn't receive it. He couldn't receive it with joy. So what should have been the most blessed announcement for him, which should have been the fulfillment of everything he had prayed for, instead, he couldn't believe it. He just couldn't believe it because his heart was so crusted over with disappointment. And then God did a merciful thing. He made him silent so that he couldn't complain anymore. So it was the mercy of God that cut off his complaining, because he would have been complaining. And so instead of sinning against God, God just made him really quiet so that he could bring to pass the fulfillment of what he had desired to do from the beginning. Right? God didn't want to cut off Zacharias. He didn't want to cut off Elizabeth. He wanted to bless them. But he wanted to bless them with not just a son. He wanted to bless them with the son that would precede the Messiah. The one who Jesus said was the greatest among all the sons of men. Who would come in the spirit of Elijah, in the power of Elijah. So this was no ordinary son. This was a very special and magnificent son. So God had from the beginning determined that Elizabeth and Zacharias would be the parents of this son. And so he took them through this intense testing time, withholding and making it appear as though God had forgotten him. And his intention for him was good. This is our lesson, right? This is our lesson. How many of us in this room, how many of us who are watching from many places, how many of us have been disappointed in God? How many of us have prayed? How many of us have held on? How many have held faith and trusted in God and relied on him and maintained a good attitude toward God through a period of time? And then the thing that we were praying for so much, that we greatly desired, whether it's the salvation of our children or the fulfillment of the desire of our heart, whatever it is, it goes beyond the acceptable limit of our endurance. God regularly does this. He takes, we have a certain amount of faith and endurance. We go up to that point, and then if God holds it, withholds it beyond that, our faith and endurance collapses. This is where Zacharias was. But God's intention toward us hasn't changed. His intention toward Zacharias hadn't changed at all. Even when he had fallen into despair and complaining, his intentions were still good. And so God's intentions toward us, each of us, is still good. And we need to look to, this is why looking to Mary is such an encouragement, because Mary was faced with the same impossible situation that she was to have a child, even though she had no husband. And she said, "Be it done to me according to your word." She believed God. And so now we have to look at the good promises of God. We have to examine the good promises of God. God's promises to us are yea and amen. They are good. They are faithful. They are awesome. He has prepared an awesome heritage for his sons and daughters. He has prepared a heritage that we can't even imagine, that we won't even really see the beginnings of until the next world. But he has prepared comfort and care, love, joy, and peace while we are on earth. And then he has prepared a kingdom, a place for us all in glory. He has prepared an eternity of blessing for us. In the meantime, giving us all these promises, whatever we ask of him, he will give to us, that he has stored up goodness to for us, that he has given us the river of delights. He has given us so many promises. In Deuteronomy 28 alone, is enough promises to keep us going indefinitely, that we'll be blessed going in and coming out, blessed in our kneading bowl and our food and our offspring and our and all that we set our hands to, blessed in the city, blessed in the country. He set before us all awesome blessings beyond our imagination. And his will toward us has not changed. It's not changed. So that even when he withholds from us for a long time, even when he goes past our endurance limit and he withholds from us, still he has not forgotten his goodwill toward us. He has not changed his heart toward us. He really actually does love us. And his intentions toward us are good. There's the difference between the Zacharias spirit and the Mary spirit, is that Mary believed that God's intentions toward her were good. And Zacharias had let that slip. And so, if we would not be struck with dumbness, then we should try to hold fast to our confidence in God, that his intentions toward us are good. We also see in Mary the most supreme, sublime humility. And that's the thing that I really, really love about Mary, is her humility. She was chosen to be the mother of a humble king. And so she had to have a heart that was like his. So she had a heart that was like his in all humility. And she was chosen by God because of this beautiful virtue that would be then manifest so fully in her divine son. And what's so striking about this is how contrary it is to our modern ways. We are now taught that women are to think highly of themselves, and very highly. They are to be filled with self-esteem. And the most popular books that are out today teach us that women were created with the desire to be worshipped, and that that's a good thing. Well, that desire to be worshipped is what made Lucifer go from being an archangel that served before God to being Satan, who is in hell, who despises God, with the desire to be worshipped. And so we're being taught today that women are innately made this way, and this is a good thing that we should embellish, that we should nurture, that we should bring out. Now, if Mary had read the latest books that are on your bookshelf, we're not talking about nebulous, you know, out there someplace. No, these are the books that are in every Christian home, in every Christian bookstore, and in every church. These books are there. We're talking something that's very, very real. If Mary had read the books that are on your bookshelf, God would have passed by her, because she would not have been suitable to be the mother of a lowly king. Instead, she was humble in her own eyes. She was lowly in her own eyes. She was humble. She didn't think of herself as great. She said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord." And you might say, "Oh, well, she was picked for such an honor. Who wouldn't be honored by that?" No, she was picked for an honor that was filled with distress and trouble and humiliation. She was picked for an honor that was full of humiliation, because she had a son of questionable origin. And you can be sure that the women's tongues in that day were the same as the women's tongues today, and that she would have endured harsh criticism and suspicion and murmuring and mutterings among everybody all the time. She would have endured that for a long time, because they knew that it wasn't Joseph's son. She would have endured a lot. And then what happened? Instead of Jesus becoming the king and her being exonerated and being made the queen mother, Jesus died a criminal's death, and that was it. He was completely humiliated and killed, and that was it. And there she was, still having all of this criticism, all these murmurings, and all these mutterings. So she was never vindicated in the natural sense of the word. So the humility that Mary had was complete to the end, when the sword pierced her heart. And she was never defended in the natural sense. So this honor that God had bestowed upon her was not an honor that we would consider honorable. It wasn't like, oh man, the glory, we're going to get the glory, we're going to be lifted up, everybody's going to love us. No, the honor God bestowed on Mary was that she would be despised, and that she would be the mother of someone who was killed and despised. And she was not ever defended until she is defended by the Father in spiritually. Like, we know who she is now, so we honor her. But man, that took a long time. And so Mary endured and endured and endured and endured and endured, and she held fast to her original, "Behold the bond slave of the Lord." She held to that mentality all the way to the end of her life. And it was required of her. So that Mary went through the crucible, she went through the refining fire, she went to the cross herself. In some ways, a mother's heart probably felt more pain than Jesus did as her son. He just endured it. But a mother's heart is really just really tender, you know, and just that she would have gone to the cross with Jesus and died a thousand deaths, you know. It was really, really, really hard for her. And so we have this beautiful picture of a woman who just endured so much to be picked as God's mother. And so she has this awesome humility, but she also had this awesome trust in the goodness of God. And so you can see in her these lessons for us that are so imperishable. These are life lessons for us. And we need to turn back to them all the time. Just turn to Luke chapter 1 all the time to be reminded that God's intentions toward us are good. And that we have to just believe that his intentions are good. Even if it looks like they aren't, they are. And when we have been picked for the honor of being his sons and daughters, that it's an honor that includes humiliation and grief and difficulty and suffering. And yet, joy and blessing and ultimate, extreme vindication and extreme honor. Extreme glory. What he has prepared for us is beyond what we can imagine. So I want you to be encouraged in these things and to hold fast, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for picking such a woman as Mary and for putting in her an excellent spirit. Thank you for the joy that she has now with you and the love that you share. Lord, help us to take to heart these lessons that we would not be crushed by our despair in believing that you have not heard us or turned away from us, Lord, but let us remember your word, which says those who trust in you will not be disappointed. Lord, let us hold fast in that. And Lord, let us also be like your mother and walk in humility, Lord. And let us take all these teachings that are for self-inflation and self-fulfillment and self-worship and adoration, and let us chuck them out into the garbage where they belong. And let us follow after our humble King with all humility. We just thank you so much for your love and your grace toward us. Thank you, oh God. Please bless each one who is here and each one who is far. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we look forward to seeing some of you shortly as we go down to New England for Christmas for a few days. And for those that are here, we'll miss you. God bless.